Hey folks, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox once again. I am so glad you're here. Thank you all for the prayers. Thank you for listening. We love you and we pray for you always. We ask you continue to reach out to us on holyspiritsoapbox.com. We are always willing to chat with you and shoot emails back and forth. We love hearing from you. We really do. So we thank you for everybody that's done that so far. We look forward to hearing from others. Now, time. TikTok time. Time is of the essence, right? Time is more valuable than money. And then insert another cliche line about time here, right? Okay. We have all these little, whatever, adages or statements about time because we get so freaking busy. And I will say that we, Stacy and I, are witnessing busyness with multiple kids, a new place that needs updates, work, a ton of other things. And when this happens, we are taught that it's okay to say no sometimes. And that is true. Stacy and I had a whole season of no's at one point. We probably made some people mad. But we had to. We got to the point where we were consistently rushing around and we didn't have time for God. We didn't have time for each other. So on and so forth. Now let's go for a little bit of nostalgia here. When you were a kid, or maybe you're a kid listening to this right now, remember like the other day when your mom or dad or some sort of authoritative person asked you to do something and you were like too busy playing or doing something where you're like, no, not now, no. It usually didn't end well, did it? Right? Most of the time you ended up stopping what you were doing and getting your behind along to do it or else. What happens though if that authoritative figure that's asking you to move is God? Cue the suspenseful music, right? First, how do you even know it's God? Well, let's jump into this. Okay, let's really dig into this because we are all called by God in some way. Now, whether or not we hear it is the situation. That is the thing. We have to know if we're hearing from God. And a great way to tell if it is from God and not just your selfishness or the world is by this example here. This is something that we've learned along the way. Stacy and I were talking about something to help out a local church where we lived. And when we had a discussion with the pastor, he mentioned this exact same thing as a need without mentioning it to him. So we were having this conversation out at coffee. And the pastor was like, yeah, we really need this, that, and the other thing for this church. And it was like the exact same things that Stacy and I were talking about doing for the church. We were like, maybe they might need that. And then we got coffee with him and he said it. And none of us even talked before then. Or when we were totally questioning our move to the new state that we live in now, a conversation I had with someone else altogether from our hometown miles away was repeated during a sermon at a local church where we live. I had this conversation with a really, really good friend of mine, and we went back to the Bible and we're praying about it and we're talking about these things, and it was something that I was mentioning to him. And then we went to church like that following Sunday, and all of a sudden the pastor said the exact same thing. And I'm like, wow, this is how God works. He loves to confirm things for you through his people in community. This is why it's so important to join a Christ-following community. If you're able to, because what you do is you edify each other. And this is what edification means, or to edify means. It says this in the American Heritage Dictionary. It says to instruct, especially so as to encourage intellectual, moral, or spiritual movement. Sometimes we may sit at home and prophesy or think that we have this thought like this is what God wants. And it isn't. A Christ-fallen community will convict that or not even have that cross their hearts or their minds. When we write and record these episodes, we do pray about them, and then we chat about them in Jesus' name so that we are teaching things inspired by God through his Spirit on this, drum roll please, soapbox. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit soapbox. We are told these things, whether in just things that we learn or things that we read or conversations that we have or just things that pop into our hearts like Stacy and my heart and a pastor's heart and a couple people that are in the Christ Fallen community's hearts. And then we're all like, let's give this a soapbox. Let's give the Spirit a soapbox. Let's get on this soapbox and preach and teach these things because, wow, these are amazing. I'm not trying to pat my own back. This is all the Holy Spirit working. This is the confirmation that we get. Now, if it's something that you might keep hearing, whether in sermons or when you read God's word or when chatting to others in a Christ-fallen community, you might want to take heed and really pray about it. You might really actually want to listen to whatever it is that you're hearing. Sometimes people get things on their hearts for like years and they just don't make the move. God's timing is not like our timing. His timing is perfect. His minutes on his clock are not like ours. When he wants us to move, he will convict us and nudge us a little bit to move with his Spirit. If he wants us still, he will nudge us and almost urge us to be still. When Stacy and I went through that season of no's, when we kept saying no to pastors and churches and whatever else, we almost had that nudge, that urge from the Spirit to just be still right now and just rest. Rest in me, because you're trying to do too much, or you're trying to go in these directions that I'm not wanting you down. These avenues that you shouldn't even step on. So it works both ways. And why this is important is, let's say as an example, you've had it in your heart to move somewhere new, far away from where you grew up. It's on your heart for days, weeks, months, maybe years. And when you're just about to make the decision, you're riddled with fear. Let's say you move. You finally make the move, you find a great community of Christ followers, and because of this, you are clean from alcohol and drugs that you were addicted to for years. Because you release the chains of that dependency on those things, God can now use you to inspire a person you've met in this new area of the world and glorify him, leading that other person to Jesus. Maybe the timing worked, but God puts these things in our hearts to ponder because he has his plans for the better of all people. Now let's take Philip, for instance. He gets this nudge to go to Ethiopia to find this eunuch and baptizes him. This is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now imagine if Philip was just like, nah, not now, God, I'm busy. I'm scared. I'm worried. That transformation for the Ethiopian would eventually happen because of their faith. But God invites us to participate with him in his Spirit. I would love to do that. If I was in Philip's shoes, yes, I would be fearful and worrying. And what are you talking about? I have to go towards this road down towards Ethiopia? Like, it's hot. It's dry. I don't know what's down there. There could be wolves and coyotes. I don't even know what lives out there. Rattlesnakes. But it would have been awesome to see and participate with God to see this Ethiopian eunuch find Christ and love Christ and baptize him. Like, that would make me feel so joyful. But sometimes we get so fearful and worried that we hold back. But why though? Why do we hold back? For if God is with us, who then can be against us? This is Romans 8:31. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Now, I've talked to people feeling that tug in their hearts to do something interesting or big things for Jesus, but they're afraid to leave family or lose the time that they have or worry that it might make them move away from a place they love or they might not be able to do it well or this, that, and the other thing. And the list goes on of all these fears that they list. Well, I got to make sure I bury my father first, right, Matthew? Okay. I don't want you to think this is all about moving away somewhere either. This could be a nudge to like get into a church that's near your home now. Like maybe you drive by this church every weekend and you're like, oh, maybe I should go to church. You know, maybe I should try that church. I want to see who's in there. I want to get to know that community and love them. And maybe they'll love me back. But maybe you've been too worried about what they might think about you or that you still drink alcohol or maybe that you eat certain foods or maybe that you haven't been baptized again yet. Or maybe you're not fitting in. There's so many different things. We could just keep piling on the excuses. We can pile on the fear, but it never solves anything. God wants you to participate with him right now. If there's something on your heart, feel free to ask Christ followers too. Feel free to ask them. If there's something that's been on your heart for like months, you're like, wow, I read about it, pray about it, like read about it in the Bible, pray about it, and then join a community or ask your community of Christ followers to be like, I've been feeling this from the Holy Spirit to like get up in front of 1,000 people and preach. You never know what can happen. You never know what can happen. That person might come to you and be like, you know what's weird? Next week, we need somebody to speak at our church, and there are about 1,000 of us. You never know. This is how God works, and God wants you to participate. So if you're feeling a nudge, if you're feeling something on your heart, pray about it, read about it, ask community. And then if he's genuinely calling you to do something, go do it. Do it, because you are not going to look back and regret it. You're going to be like, this is amazing. God wanted me to do this whole time. Why have I not done this? And that's how we felt. I mean, I'm speaking from pure experience, Stacey and myself. When the issues we were having back where we were from originally, we still loved the people there. We just kept finding ourselves in this circle. We kept in this recurring circle of seeking satisfaction. It was Godalelogram. Godalelogram. If you haven't listened to that one, listen to that one. It's one of our earlier episodes. But we just kept seeking, trying to put these things, these worldly things where God should have been. And then we actually moved across the country. And it helped us focus on God first and then our relationship. And it just deepened everything. And it just made everything so awesome. And we almost wondered, like, first of all, why didn't we do this sooner? And secondly, why doesn't everybody else do this? Right? Like, I would love to have everybody just love Jesus. That's the goal. That's why we talk about the gospel. And that's why if there's maybe you're getting this little nudge, like every time you get coffee from this place down the street, or maybe you're getting food at this deli or something, that you've been talking to this person, but you've never talked about the gospel yet. Maybe that's something you do. Maybe that you never know how that affects them, and you never know how that might change their life and your life. So let's meditate on that. And then let's now meditate on these verses. So I'm reading in Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 22 in the NIV. Feel free to read along. I'm going to read them out loud, and then I'm going to say something about them right after. But if you don't have your Bible in front of you, or if you can't read your Bible right now, these are in the description. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 22 in the NIV says this: when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." The first person, the teacher of the law that said, "I will follow you wherever you go," and Jesus replied with the "foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to sleep" type of line that he said. That line is impactful because it tells us of how serious, how much you have to put into following Christ. Following Christ, you won't have a house, is what he was saying. You don't know where you're going to be the next day because you're being guided by the Spirit. And then that next one, another disciple that said, "Lord, let me go bury my father first." And he said, "Well, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead." Now, the father was not dead yet, most likely. They don't know exactly the story with this here. But the situation is such that he's like, I got to go first handle other worldly things before following you. I got to make sure that I'm good on earth before I can go and follow you. I heard that you foxes have dens and birds have nests, but you have nowhere to be. You have nowhere that you can stay. And then you have no idea where you're going to be next. So let me control this situation and let me go back home until my father dies. And then I'll figure everything out from there. And then I'll do that. He was literally basically saying, "No, Jesus, not yet. I'm comfortable here. I like what I have going on right now. And I know this is not a right time for me," even though Jesus is like, "Yeah, follow me right now." We have to really start answering when God calls. Keep in mind, though, confirmation is different from dictation. We might have something on our hearts from God, and it's confirmed without telling another Christ follower, like we mentioned earlier, about the pastor and the local church and all these weird things that kept happening. We're like, whoa, that's strange. We just talked about that. Were you listening to my phone calls or whatever? That's confirmation. There's the other situation where another Christ follower or churchgoer tells you what to do when it wasn't something ever on your heart. That's different. It may be where God needs you someday, but you have to pray about it and be guided by God to go forth with doing it. Our journeys are all different. We get our guidance from God and only God. When we let the Spirit move, He will move us. But when He wants us to move, it would behoove us and all of mankind to move. So meditate on those Matthew verses, because we try to dictate our own time when God's nudging us to move. I need you here. I would love for you to participate with me here. Can you just go and do it? Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And we're like, oh, no, whoa, what's that feeling? That's weird. Something's pushing me. I'm going to go do this instead. Not now, God. I don't have time for you. Not now. So meditate on those Matthew verses above and really dig into yourself. And with these three questions, maybe this will help you. So question one is, how do these verses in Matthew speak to you right now? How do those verses in Matthew speak to you? Question two, in what ways do you trust or not trust the Spirit to guide you? And question three, what are some ways you can decrease your fear about doing what God is asking of you? I want to thank you one more time. Those questions are in the description as well as those verses. We would love to pray over all of you and close us out here. If you could please take your prayer posture, if it's safe to do so, please do. And let's talk to God. Our Father, thank you for the ability to give us all our own path to take in this lifetime that all lead to your will being done. We know that we try to take our own path sometimes on our own time and think that we got it all together and all figured out. But know that you provide to us what we need to move according to your will for the benefit of all people. We ask that you take us away from us trying to dictate our own lives and to stay on the path you have set for each of us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate and ask and pray all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.